Right. It's always such a privilege to come to share with you. And as usual, I usually set a question at the start just so I can organize my notes. And so the question this week is, I want you to speak to the person around you about who is your favorite teacher and why. So you might, some of you might have to cast your mind back way, way, way back. But turn to the person next to you and say, oh, my favorite teacher is this person. And then why were they a good teacher and why do you like them? Do it now. That's great. Cool. There's some passion in the room. Talking about teachers. We'll bring it into a close. Cool. Love talking about teachers. I've never had people talk so much as when they talk about their teacher. I say, just turn to the person next to you and say they look good, and it's a second. Turn to the person next to you, talk about your teachers. And for another thing, he gave me a B on my science homework back in 95, and I remember it. It's passion. But you know what? As we're talking about teaching this morning, it's really important that we say we've got some birthdays in. But some people, some of our amazing young adults graduated this week. So Sam and Amy, do you want to stand up? And we want to give you a big round of applause. I know it's a bit awkward. Is Amy in? Oh, she's downstairs. But we are proud of you. We love you, and you do what we couldn't do and be clever. And so that's really important. Who knows, the summer holidays are upon us. We're in, yeah. And all the teachers and students go, whoa! And all the parents go, oh! At the prospect of 6 weeks of blessed time with their blessing children. But we were away last week on holiday, and it was amazing. But it was warm. It was actually quite warm. It was just over 30 every day. And there's two types of people in life, aren't there? There's the people who love the sun, who soak in it. That isn't me. I'm a shade man. I am the definition, if I get too hot, of hot and bothered. You know, I just have to sit in the shade. But I have to say, there is a nice feeling about when you go on holiday and you're on the plane and you get off the plane, you step into the warmth and it hits you for the first time. Do you know what I'm talking about? So in the morning, you've got a nice air-conditioned hotel or villa and you walk out and it's like, vroom, and you walk straight away into this warm environment. You're like, I'm on holiday. There's something nice about that. And then I'm like, I've had enough of this now. I'll get back inside and watch the TV. But it's nice. You walk into a different atmosphere. And we're in a series at the minute looking at, titled Atmosphere, based around Ephesians chapter 4 and the fivefold ministry gifting. I'm going to come up behind me, but I'm just going to summarize a little bit. Found in verse 12, the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors, and the prophets. These are the fivefold ministry gifts that Christ gave to the church, Paul writes. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up his church, to be united in our faith and knowledge of Jesus and mature in that faith and knowledge so that we may become more like Jesus. To summarize, what Paul's saying is if we in our churches want to look like Jesus, we have to make sure that we are seeing the fivefold ministry gifted in operation. Why? Because Jesus, who was the head of the church, and our job is to embody Jesus, was the perfect embodiment of the fivefold ministry giftings. He was the ultimate apostle, sent from heaven to earth to pioneer a movement of followers. He's the ultimate evangelist, preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven everywhere he went that was available through himself. He was the ultimate teacher who taught about what lives committed to this kingdom of heaven look like and what it meant to be part of this movement. He was the ultimate prophet that would speak God's plans and purposes into people's lives. And he speaks to sort of Simon. He says, Simon, listen, you were a fisherman, but you're going to change your name to be Peter and you're going to be the rock on which I build my church. He prophesied. He was the ultimate pastor, the good shepherd, John 10, who gave up his life for his followers. And so this series is all about how understanding how we can cultivate an atmosphere, an environment where we see the fivefold ministry giftings in operation. And we've done it in taking each one on a week. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Aaron brought the apostolic. How can we create an apostolic environment? Last week, Pastor Keith brought the evangelistic environment. How can we create an evangelistic environment? And today, I want to talk about how we can create and cultivate an environment where the teaching gift is in operation. And before I start, I felt this just before the service, is I want to ask you a question. I want to pray, and I want to ask you a question, is why are you here this morning? Are you here this morning because you want to grow? Or are you here this morning for show? Let me explain. Sometimes in church, we come because church is what we do. That's not the right mindset to come to church with. We should come to church because we want to grow. We want to grow. I want to hear what God is speaking into my heart. I want to be taught by the great teacher. Anybody with me? Anyone want to be taught this morning? Anybody willing to grow? A couple of us. Well, I'm going to pray. And if you're feeling, you know what, maybe I've not always come to church ready to grow. This is the time right now to get your heart right. Because God wants to speak to you in this moment. So just drop your heads for a second. We'll pray. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, will you right now, will you come and fill this room? Lord, we pray for all of us. May we have ears to hear what you want to say to us. Lord, if we're here for any other intention other than just wanting to grow, wanting to experience your presence and become more like you, Jesus, let those things fall off. And instead, will you show us and speak to us the divine word you've got for us today? We don't believe we're here by accident. There's something and there's a reason why we're here. Will you show us as we go on right now in Jesus' name? Amen. 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 So I'm going to use Jesus, who is the perfect example, the perfect teacher, to help us understand how we can cultivate an environment, an atmosphere where the teaching gift can grow. That's what he does with his disciples and with his followers in general. And I want to make sure that I take everybody with me. That's important when you're a preacher. I don't want to leave some people behind. I don't want to speak to one person, not to another. So I want to speak to everybody. I want to speak to everybody in the room as people who both have responsibilities to learn, but also to help others learn. So I'm going to on each of my points, I'm going to have a shoe on each foot. One will be, how can we help others grow? How can we be good teachers? And two, how can we be good learners? It's important that we understand both at the same time. Jesus' Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, he says, go into all the nations, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Jesus is saying, teach as you have been taught. Because the best teachers in life are the best learners in life. That is true. And they teach lessons from the lessons that they've learned. Jesus himself does this. He says in John 12:49-50, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. So if Jesus is willing to learn and then teach, we should do the same. Amen? Cool. Point one, one shoe on each foot. Good teachers create environments where questions are asked and good students have a hunger to grow. Do you know that during the Gospels, Jesus asked 307 questions? He asked questions to his disciples. He asked questions to the Pharisees and religious leaders. He asked questions of those who come to him for healing. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus teaches his disciples that it's good to ask questions. If you're anything like me, sometimes in my journey of faith, I've found it's very easy to treat Jesus just trying to almost like an answer bank. And I'm always coming to Jesus looking for answers. Oh, Jesus, I've got a situation here. Can you help me out with this? And I can't tell you how many times as I come to Jesus looking for answers, he gives me questions. Oh, Lord, I'm so frustrated about this situation. It's so annoying. Can you do something about it? And Jesus says to me, is it right that you are annoyed about this? I go, no. You know, Jesus teaches his disciples that good questions lead to better questions. John 18, Jesus is before Pilate, just before he's going to sort of go to the cross. And Pilate asks him this question. He says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, he responds with a question. Is that your question, Pilate? Or did others tell you that about me? Jesus' question leads Pilate to have an answer to a more important question, which is, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? When I was on this point, I felt God really speak to me. He was speaking to me as much as, this message is for me as much as for anybody else. But he spoke to me. Mediocre teachers tell their students the answers. Good teachers help students find the answers for themselves. But great teachers help students find the answers to better questions. Jesus established a culture where better questions were asked. Let's be intentional. If we want to help people grow in asking better questions, because better question leads to deeper learning. Bit of a word of warning here. Throughout Scripture, we learn that the motive of questions are important. This is like the shoe on the other foot as a learner. Okay, because two types of people I'm going to summarize who ask Jesus questions. One, the disciples. And the second one were the Pharisees, religious leaders. One group asked questions to catch out and attempt to humiliate. And one group asked questions to grow and to learn and to develop. One group were hypocrites, the Pharisees. And one group were humble. I love the disciples. They didn't pretend to know all the answers. They didn't come with it all sorted. They wanted to know. They were hungry to know. Luke 8. That's what Jesus just tells the parable of the sower. And they go, we don't know what this means. Can you tell us what this means? Luke 11. They say, Lord, will you teach us to pray? They would have known how to pray broad strokes. But they wanted to teach. Lord, will you teach us how to pray your way? If we want to be a community of learners, it is important that we must pursue humility, we must stay hungry, and we must guard against hypocrisy. We must pursue humility, stay hungry, and guard against hypocrisy. Okay, second point. Good teachers recognize and call out potential. Good students, shoe on the other foot, try their best. A teacher has the ability to spot the potential in others. Be somebody in your life that calls out the potential in other people around you. Matthew 4:19, Jesus meets Peter and Andrew, calls out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Peter and Andrew were fishermen, but Jesus didn't see what they were, he saw what they would be. Hey, yeah, you're fishermen, but you will be fisher of men. Good teachers are people who see people as they are, who see their potential and help them walk the journey in between. I want to be a part of a community of faith that helps people achieve their God-given potential in their lives. I want to help them in between the gap. I might see where they are, but also I see where they will be, and I help them in between. And we should be that as a community, all in. In the environment where the teacher gift is present, people are pushed into their potential and not left in their present condition. A good student tries their best, the shoe on the other foot. Be someone in life who tries to live up to the calling that God's placed on your life. Be somebody who tries to live the potential that God's called on you. Verse 1 of our core passage reading out of Ephesians 4 says, live a life worthy of your calling. Live a life worthy of your calling. Peter could have said no to the call of Jesus. He could have said, listen, I am what I am. I'm a fisherman. And I'm going to be a fisherman. My father was a fisherman and his grandfather was a fisherman. I'm going to be a fisherman because that's what I am. But he didn't. He recognized what he could be. The rich ruler comes to Jesus, asks him some great questions. He could have become the penniless apostle, but he wasn't willing to pay the cost. He wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. And I love that about the disciples. They did. They tried their best. They put everything into it. They didn't give up. Peter, in Matthew 16, he's just been rebuked like harshly by Jesus. So Peter's just said to Jesus, listen, Jesus, I think you should stop talking about what happens at the end of your life. It's not right. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Matthew 17, the next passage, is the transfiguration. Peter bounced back. his bounce back, his resilient response is at the transfiguration. Wow, this is wonderful. Can I make tents for all three? For Elijah, Moses, and you, Jesus? And God speaks from heaven and says, just listen to Jesus. But I love his response. He just tries again. And Peter is just, no, he just keeps on trying, keeps on trying. Churchill said, success is walking from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Jesus' teaching can be hard to follow sometimes. He even says to his disciples, are you going to leave me too when everybody else is walking away? And Peter says, well, where would I go? Where would we go? You've got the words to eternal life right here. Good students try their best. Number three, good teachers are not afraid to challenge, and good students respond to challenge well. We've all had teachers in life who probably we felt were a bit too strict. You know what I mean? They walk into the classroom. Learning is not about fun. Education is progression. You know, and it's sort of like everybody sits up really straight. But it is true that as part of the teacher's role, that they should challenge behaviours that are not appropriate for the setting. And if there was behaviour in his disciples that Jesus was like, this is not in keeping with the kingdom I'm establishing here on earth, he would challenge. Luke 22, disciples squabbling about who's going to be the greatest. I love this because it's so human. We connect with these sort of stories. And Jesus says, no, listen, in my kingdom it's the other way around. You want to be the greatest, be the least. You want to be the greatest, serve everybody else. Matthew 21, Jesus, on his way into Jerusalem, gets to the temple, selling stuff everywhere, blocking people from being able to get in and fulfill what the temple's all about, where people can meet with God, flips the tables. He challenges what is going on. An atmosphere where the gift of the teacher is present is one where challenge happens when necessary. And it's, why does Jesus correct and challenge? And he does it a lot. If you read scripture, Jesus corrects and challenges lots, and particularly the Pharisees, because their culture was way off. It's because he's very protective of what he's trying to establish. We need to be careful in our fellowship of what we allow to grow in the corners. And that's what Jesus is, a brilliant leader, because he recognizes those things and he calls them out quickly. He challenges sharply, but quickly and lovingly. And he commits to the journey. He doesn't challenge Peter and says, what, Peter, you're on your own. Yeah. Boom. He's still on the journey. He still walks with him. He disciples him through it. But he does challenge. And we should challenge too. It's important we do that. It's the role of the leadership team here at church. We are, you know, we have a thing of to be able to, when we see stuff that's unhealthy within this community, we should be calling it out. That's what we should be doing. You all have a role as well. If you see stuff that's not healthy in the community that leadership is not seeing, bring it to leadership. Because we want to grow. We want to be a community of people who are encouraging each other and challenging each other to read our Bibles more. No, so if you're sat with somebody and they're saying, oh, listen, I've not heard from God for ages. I just feel God's not speaking to me anymore. And you say, oh, you know, you've been reading your Bible? And he's like, no. Don't say you'll pray for them. You can still pray for them. But say, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Like sometimes I think we can be so British and polite that we just rather let people just live in their own sin than actually help them out of it. We've got to be careful with that. Jesus didn't do that. A good student can take challenge on the head, respond well to it. Proverbs talks about this over and over. Chapter 12, verse 1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Ouch. Chapter 15, verse 32 of Proverbs again. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. If you're really looking to grow, you have to be willing to take challenge on the head. If you're really, really looking to grow, why don't you go and look for challenge? Ask somebody. Say, listen, will you speak into my life? I'll give you permission to look at me, and if there's something in me that's not Christ-like, will you speak it and say, shouldn't we be doing that? It's good. That's a good culture. If we all challenge each other to read our Bibles more, to pray more, to sin less, we're going to become a community of people who are more like Christ. That's just true. Number four. Good teachers are passionate about their subject, and good students stay focused. You ever had a teacher at school who loves their subject? Doesn't matter what it is. You can tell the difference between a teacher who's interested in their subject and one who isn't. You know, these teachers are passionate about whatever they're even if it's algebra, they like love it. There's something contagious about that passion. Jesus was passionate about his message, about teaching the kingdom of heaven. He wanted people to know the good news, and he wanted people to know who he was. And if we want to be people who help others grow, we have to be passionate about the message of the Messiah. Let's admit it, we've all been in church services over the years where the preacher has spoken the most monotone voice you would ever hear. We all know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's fallen asleep as he says it, and so are you. Listen, we are called to be passionate. If the evangelist's 3:16 is John 3:16, do you know what the teacher's 3:16 is? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Whenever you are discussing scripture, whether you're over a coffee, whether it's in a meeting, a connect group, whatever it is, speak about it as if it's God-breathed, because it is. Carry a passion to what you're talking about. Don't let it be the most. If you talk about it like it means nothing, it probably does mean nothing to you. Speak about it passionately. You ever watch a Billy Graham message? Cool. It was like almost like the passion of Jesus sweated off of him. It was evident as he spoke, and people were captivated and captured by the message, but also by the passion that had gripped him, so that he was so passionate about it that he was going to tell people about it. We should be passionate like that. Good teachers talk passionately about their subject. Good students can keep their focus on the subject. Who knows, you can have the best teacher in the world, but if you have the wrong focus, you can miss it all. Just ask Judas. You can have the best teacher in the world, you've got the wrong focus, you miss it all. Judas had the King of Heaven teaching him about the kingdom of heaven, and he missed it. He missed it. He should have been an apostle building the early church. He should have seen miracles. He should have been a pioneer. But he got distracted by the money. Good students keep their focus on the subject. Don't let distractions steal your destiny. That was what happened to Judas. Should have been building the early church. Got distracted and stayed distracted. Good students focus on their subject. And I want to finish. Chris, will you jump on the keys for me? Point 5. Good teachers demonstrate their lesson, and good students demonstrate they've learnt their lesson. One of the best ways to teach is to demonstrate what you've just taught. Chemistry teachers can teach what happens when you mix two chemicals from a book. But there's something that hits different when they get the beakers out. Do you know what I mean? And they put the glasses on. And they pour them two in together, and something amazing happens. And it resonates differently. Jesus did the same. Matthew 4:23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Because here's the thing about Jesus. He didn't just teach about the kingdom. He brought it. He taught and brought the kingdom of heaven with him. Matthew 9:39-35. This verse repeats itself over and over. Listen, so you can hear the difference between the other one. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. That's what Jesus does. He teaches and he brings the kingdom together, and he calls us to do the same in John 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, even greater. Good students demonstrate what they've learned. And I want to be a good student this morning. So the only way I thought I could finish this message was that we're going to pray for some people. That we would invite Jesus, the good and the best teacher there could ever be, who hopefully through this message somewhere, somehow has spoken to you, to help you understand him more. We're going to invite him to come and to bring the kingdom of heaven into this room. And we're going to do what Jesus did after he taught. I'm going to pray for the sick. And so I wanted to ask you to do something really brave. If you've got something in your body that is not as it should be, maybe you're carrying a sickness, an illness, an infirmity of any type, maybe you've got a mental health issue, and your mind's just not quite right, you've been struggling for a while, I want you to do something really brave for me. Will you stand where you are? Just, if that's you. Listen, I believe in a God who's going to heal. Jesus didn't just teach it. He brought it. He brought it. And what, I've been a bit cheeky really, but what I'm going to do is, I'm going to bring a prayer team that's been arranged already. If you guys can come forward to the front. And I'm just going to invite, once they're ready, you stood up so brave, thank you. Will you come forward and receive prayer? Because I believe that Jesus wants to see his kingdom come in your life. I believe that he's going to heal some people this morning. Has anybody here got a mustard seed of faith to join with me? So that we believe that Jesus is going to heal some people. And so if that's you, just literally, guys, on the prayer team, just line up. Don't need a lanyard. They know who you are. Just come and line up so people can see and come to you. And if you've stood up, will you just sort of like just queue in the aisles or come to a person direct? And we're not going to pray long, but we're just going to pray that the presence of Jesus comes and impacts you now. And if you're sat in the congregation and you don't have anything wrong with your body, that's great. Pray for people. Pray for people as they're going forward in the sign of obedience to that. Is that all right? You with me? So just come forward now. If you stood up, come forward and find somebody to pray with down the front. And as they come, I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit comes and fills this space right now. Holy Spirit, we just pray. In the name of Jesus, that any sickness that is causing damage or that is causing pain of any type leaves in the name of Jesus. We claim that in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, that healing will begin to happen right now. That all over this room, those who are not well in their body will begin to receive your healing. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who heals. And we pray you heal right now. If you're in the congregation, will you just put your hands out to the person who's nearby or put them forward? Just participate. Don't just sort of like watch. Jesus, we just believe in for healing right now. We believe you're going to move powerfully. And we're just going to pray for some people for a bit. And then Rich is going to come and lead worship, if that's okay. And we're just going to see what happens. But just keep praying for people in your seats.